Life Audio.
And welcome to today's episode of the March or Die Show today. Looking forward to sharing a great interview with you with my friend Kyle Kraft. Today we are going to talk about a range of subjects. We're going to talk about things like guilt and shame and freedom and redemption, the gospel, and ultra running. We're going to talk about all of those things today, and super excited to be able to share this conversation with you. This is a conversation that's been building for some time, and I look forward to sharing that with you in just a moment.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Hello and welcome to the March or Die Show today. Again, very great to have you with me and looking forward to the conversation that you're going to hear in just a couple of minutes. Before we jump into that, if you have not yet subscribed to the show, please subscribe. Very important from whatever your favorite podcast platform is that you subscribe to this show. That lets you know when new episodes come out and also gives you a great opportunity to share the content with others. We'd love for you to do that. Also, jump over to jeremystolnicker.com. Jeremystolnicker.com is my personal website, and there you'll find connections to the work that I do with Mighty Oaks, the podcast I'm involved in, other content about myself, and connections to or links out to my socials. So you can find all of that there as well. So very grateful for that. Probably 2 years ago now, I guess it was about 2 years ago, I connected on social media with a guy who is an ultra runner. And I've talked about this on this show before, that I've been running ultra marathons and a lot of these kind of longer endurance events. And we connected on social media really because of my work with Mighty Oaks, and he is working in the arena of biblical counseling, working on a church staff. And so that was kind of our initial connection, was just the work that we do in ministry. And then he saw that I had just run an ultra marathon, reached out to me, and that's – so I run ultra marathons. He competes in ultra marathons. They're two very different things. I get on the line, and my goal is getting to the other side. I need to finish this thing. When he lines up for a race of really any distance, he's – you know, 50Ks, 50 milers, and 100 milers. When he lines up, he is lining up to win. His goal is to definitely get on the podium. And man, great athlete. But we connected over that. So we had these things in common and started to communicate. And we've talked and gotten to know each other. And I asked him to come on the podcast because he also has just this incredible personal story, a story of hurt and pain and loss. You'll hear him talk about shame and guilt and these things, and how God redeemed him from that, and how God really revealed himself and brought him not only to the other side of that, but has him now ministering to others. And in the midst of that, also pursuing ultra running and all that that brings. And it's a really fun conversation. We have talked even in recent days about potentially turning this into many more conversations. And we'll talk about that in the coming days. But very grateful to be able to share this with you. And I know this will be an encouraging conversation for you. And man, we really kind of touch so many different areas, but they're areas that touch all of us. And when we talk about marching, when it would be easier to stay where we are and die, we need to talk about these issues and discuss these. And Kyle does that so well. So please enjoy this conversation with my guest, Kyle Kraft. Kyle, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining me.
Hey, man. Doing good. You doing all right?
Doing good. It's great to finally be able to talk kind of virtually face to face. We've communicated a lot and then talked, of course, on the phone. But yeah, it's good to see you while I'm talking to you. So very cool to have this opportunity. We kind of connected through ultra running, kind of. We were, you know, on social media together and seeing some of the things that we were doing. You're much more of an ultra marathoner than I am. I'm kind of like a hobbyist, just kind of on the side trying to get through, and you're trying to win. So these are different. We have different approaches. You try to win races. I just try to survive them. But as we got to know each other and talked, your story is so much bigger than just ultra running, and kind of the running part of your life, which is a big part of your life, is an extension of so many other things. So I thought it'd be cool just to kind of talk through that. So talk about your upbringing, kind of where you came from, and then as you move through that narrative, knowing your story, talk about some of the struggles that you've had, and then we'll kind of move from there.
Yeah. Well, and just to sort of add on to what you're just saying, like I think I originally heard about you from the biblical counseling space, and then specifically on just PTSD related things, yeah, trauma and stuff. And then specifically with that aimed at men in particular, like that's something that I have, I've wanted to understand better. And I've been in some spaces in ministry in my church, around counseling and care and stuff like that. And it's been really transformative for me. And then when I saw you, kind of in that space, and then I saw you like running an ultra, and I was like, no way, man, like this is so cool. Yeah. So, you know, and that kind of ties in with my story, those two things, like, So originally I was born here in Tallahassee, Florida. And then my mom was in the Air Force. So we lived in Anchorage, Alaska for, close to 10 years, just after I was born. Like, I don't remember being here. And so I basically grew up in Anchorage, Alaska. My dad was actually a hunting guide up there, he would hunt like grizzlies and doll sheep and moose. We'd go moose hunting and then we'd fish a lot. And so I grew up like out in the woods in Alaska, trying to keep up with him on the trails. And just, you know, he would want to go the furthest upstream to try to get like the run of salmon, you know, on the river there and everything. And so, yeah, I mean, I had a lot of experience of just being out in the woods, like hunting and then that was something that was like part of who I was in a real sense. And, and then I was like 10 years old and, for a few different reasons, my parents decided to move us back to Tallahassee. And that was like a very traumatic, thing for me, like just going like the culture shock alone, losing all my, I didn't really understand what was happening. I just sort of got ripped out, from my whole, like, you know, context and, all my friends and everything. I literally never talked to any of my friends again there and, came here and like, it was really hard for me, like going into middle school, like not knowing anybody. I just got thrown into the sixth grade middle school. And so kids are already like rough and rude and everything. Yeah, yeah. And then I just got torn up by it, you know, just being alone. And I wasn't ready for that. And I kind of grown up in church a little bit. My parents were like professing believers and we went to church in Alaska. And then coming here, I think everybody was just trying to cope with it, you know? And so we ended up like just falling apart as a family. We never really plugged into a church and found like a good community. We all just kind of like dealt with it in our own ways or whatever. And so I ended up like really like, being really angry and sad and and then trying, like, learning how to cope by either escaping or just, like, being angry and, like, fighting. And so I got in a lot of trouble, ended up doing drugs, just rebelling in school, like, wasn't trying at all. Ended up dropping out of high school my freshman year, and then I got arrested just, like, a few weeks later for getting in a fight. And it was just really bad. Like, I just, everything I would do, I was just like snowballing the problem. And just a lot of it, looking back on it now, I realize I was living out of my shame quite a bit. You know, I was very self-destructive because I had a lot of shame and everything from just feeling like I was like a coward or like I was pathetic. And yeah, just that nobody liked me and stuff like that. And so I would do things that would live out of that like self narrative that I was, you know, telling myself. And so that kind of went on. Like, I was in and out of like rehab and jail and everything all through my teen years, like juvenile places and stuff. And then when I turned 21, there's a lot of details in there, but getting there, I turned 21, got arrested for the last time, and I was going to take a step the next day toward like more aggressive, hardcore drugs. That was like the plan with my roommate that I was living with then. And it was like God intervened in a really powerful way. And I got arrested, went to jail, was detoxing, absolutely miserable, and just realized that like God had been kind to me throughout my life in many ways. And all I had ever really done in response to his kindness is just to use and abuse it and just spit back in his face, you know, like, and it landed on me in a way that I finally felt like I understood, like just how bad I was. And then in that moment, like I realized, man, it's appropriate for me to like get punished by God right now, like for everything. And in that moment, I remembered that Jesus died and was punished, and that was for me. And something about it just immediately clicked where the gospel made sense for the first time. And I mean, in that moment, I was just dramatically having my eyes open and being converted, you know, now that looking back on it. Yeah. And
what was in you that you knew that, like, you came to that point and you said,
yeah,
you know, I know Jesus died. And was that something you learned earlier when you were going to church, or where did that come from?
Yeah, it was, yeah, just from hearing the gospel growing up and everything. And, you know, looking back on it now, I'm like, yeah, I had heard the gospel, but I hadn't really understood like the substitutionary reality of the gospel and the graciousness of God. It always, for me, was like, God wants me to live for him and Jesus died for me. So like, I need to get my crap together so I can live for him better. And that was kind of how I understood the gospel. And it was all like cross bearing and like sacrifice for Jesus, but not like the fact that he was saving us by his grace, you know? And, so yeah, I don't really think I understood the gospel at all. And so Christianity for me before that was just like a burden. It was just like, I can't do this. Like everything in me, I feel like I'm holding my breath underwater trying to like live for God. You know, when I would try to like turn back to him, it would just be so short lived, throughout my teen years and stuff. I'd have moments every once in a while of like, okay, I'm going to like turn back to God now. And then I would do it for like a month or some, you know, something, and then just run back to my sin, you know? And it was just, man, it was such a sweet moment. And I even sometimes forget now. It's been, so I'm 34 now, so it's been 13 years since that happened. Yeah. And it's easy to forget, you know, that like I was in that place and God, you know, there was nobody there with me. I was just sitting in a jail cell by myself.
Yeah.
And I just remember weeping just in gratitude that like, why would God be kind to me now? Like, I've been such a wretch. Like, everything in me is wrong, and God loves me right now and is wanting to draw near to me and his kindness right now. Like, that doesn't make any sense at all, you know, and just melted my heart, you know?
When you said, you know, you were living out of your shame and, you know, that was kind of driving a lot of your behavior. I've heard people talk about that recently, and every time I hear someone talk about that, I don't think it's what they think it is, right? I hear people say, you know, I was living out of my shame or something. And typically what they then do is turn and go, and those people were causing me to feel this way.
Right.
What do you mean when you say that you're living out of your shame? What does that mean?
Yeah. And some of that I'm pulling from, Ed Welch's book on shame, which I really, devoured that book and just like appreciated it. But, you know, he's like, well, you know, some people can insult you, but their insults mean nothing to you because you've been saying things about yourself to yourself that are much worse, you know, your whole life. And, yeah, just like some of the voices of like people that had said harsh things to me, bullied me and just told me what I was and everything, like when I was going through that hard time, especially in middle school, that just kind of stuck with me.
Yeah.
And then it became the voice in my own head. And I didn't realize that for a long time, this hateful, like condemning voice of shame that was just like, you suck, you're unlovable, you're pathetic, you're a coward, and everybody's going to find out, you'll be exposed one day.
Yeah.
And you know, and then Ed Welch says, you know, it's like, if you believe that you're trash, then you're just going to take the trash out. And that's how he was describing, like, living out of your shame is like, I'm going to undignify myself by doing shameful things because I think that I'm somehow less than human in some kind of way. So for me, that was like dehumanizing drug use and dehumanizing behavior where I was not being responsible or dignified and living in my sin. It's a very it's dehumanizing really to live in sin, you know? And so, so that's how I was living. I was basically throwing my life away, carelessly. And I was too afraid to take my life, you know? I didn't want to live anymore, but I was too afraid to actually take my life, you know? And so I'm just like, well, I guess I'll just try to have fun and like do what I can and make bad decisions and it'll one day it's going to all catch up with me, you know, but whatever.
It's like your identity becomes that, right? It's that Romans 7 to Romans 8 where, you know, I talk about this a lot, but Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. But then in Romans 8, 1, he talks about how there's no condemnation in Christ. It's like, where are you finding your identity? And if it's in, you know, these voices that have said you're worthless or you'll never amount to anything or you're a screw up or whatever those voices are, you're so sinful, God could never love you, whatever those are, then you take that on as your identity and then you just live that out. So it really is you responding to what you believe is your identity. That's who I am. So this is what that person does. Until you have that encounter with, you know, Christ who makes all things new, right? It's a new identity. But that's really helpful.
Yeah. And it's good to distinguish too. Like there is a healthy, like shame that we should feel over our sin and we're not worthy of God and his grace. I mean, that's the point of the gospel, but like the Gettys have the phrase, I think they got it from John Stott, but it's like, two wonders here that I confess my worth and unworthiness, you know, in the hymn. It's so beautiful. Cause those are the twin realities of like, we have dignity from God as image bearers, you know? And so we should not be less than human, but then at the same time, we're not worthy of grace or love or anything else, really. It's all a gift from God that's undeserved. Yeah. And
it's that distinguishing, though, that – and I think this is where we get it wrong sometimes, right? You're not saying this, but it's – I'm not worthy in myself.
Right.
You know? In me, there is no good thing. But I have a lot of worth. I am worthy. Right. But it's because of God. And I think that's the difference. I think it's easy for us to particularly a lot of folks who come from kind of that reformed camp, they weigh so heavy on the you're not worthy that you start to believe like, well, I'm really not worthy. No, you are. You have extreme value. It's just not because of you. Yeah. And I think that's an important distinction.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because that ends up being part of my story. You know, so I get converted and I'm just the scum of the earth in my mind. And then that's like the gospel that I'm like sort of clinging to, you know, in one sense, even the language that I was just using a minute ago. But I mean, I think that's genuinely how I was perceiving myself. And I think there is some truth to that.
Yeah.
But it's not the whole truth, like you're saying. And then, you know, Reformed theology was very attractive to me. And I got into that. I was like deep into it. And like, I loved just calling myself the worst sinner in the world.
I
didn't realize for many years that I was just like speaking my shame into like, I was drawn to it because of my shame. And it was actually incredibly uncomfortable for me to receive love from other people and let alone God, you know? And so I had a really hard time like going to our care ministry groups and stuff where we sit around with some guys and just tried to help listen to each other and understand and then speak to truth to each other. And some of the times these older guys would say, hey, man, hey, brother, like, you know that I love you, right? Like, I think you're really great. And I would just be like, stop. Like, why? Don't do that. Yeah, like, you're making me really uncomfortable right now, you know? And I think there's something to that, you know, where, I mean, I think the emphasis of scripture is on God's mercy, his compassion, his love for us. And that should be the dominant theme in our identity and our hearts now as Christians, for sure.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And in all of that, I have to be careful here. Like, I don't think ultra running or running or, you know, anything physical is like the end all and be all, right? And
yeah.
I think a lot of people, particularly in like the ultra running space, again, talking about identity, that becomes their whole identity, right? And you say things like ultra running saved my life and all that stuff. And you and I have talked about this a little bit before, but I do think that events like that, because they push you so far outside of the norm and so far outside of your comfort zone and require so much preparation and so much focus, they can be used as a tool to really, I think God has used it in my life and others to really refine, to reveal. It strips away all of the, you know, the hubris and all the stuff, because it puts you in just this place where you have to really focus and answer some hard questions about yourself, just physically. And I think that's important. So I think it can be a tool. I don't think it, again, is anything kind of more than that. But talk about how that, in this process of kind of figuring out who you were before God, where does that fit in? Because it's so important in your story.
Yeah, it really is. And it's interesting because, I mean, on one hand, I'm like, yes, absolutely, running should not be your identity. You shouldn't try to find your value and your worth from something you're doing like that. And then at the same time, like, I would be absolutely lying if I didn't say that was a real temptation for me.
Sure.
I mean, even you just saying like competing and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, there's still in me this desire for glory. And really, I mean, in context of my story, it's like kind of, you know, it's understandable in one sense that I'm wanting vindication. I'm wanting there to be something in my life that makes sense of, like, you know, I went through all this crap and felt, you know, that I was worthless. Well, now I'm going to prove to the world that, like, I really be this. And, you know, in one sense, it's like, okay, God maybe is using it in some ways to give me some dignity and all that back. But yeah, I think that is very much like, can become an idol and can become like an identity thing that really it's like a rug that's going to get swept out from you eventually. Yeah. Cause you know, injury will come, you get older, your body breaks down and you can't do it anymore. And then what, you know, I think of like guys, like I love, you know, some of how David Goggins, you know, in his whole thing, and how it's helped people and stuff. But, you know, I actually feel sad for him sometimes, cause one day his body is going to fail, you know? And if he doesn't know Christ, then, you know, that's a sad story.
That's where I think it's the difference between, you know, these things can be a tool that God can use in my life. And I mean, you've told me this and maybe you'll talk about this a little bit, but even just the opportunities to talk to other people in this community about Christ and all of these things. I think that can be a tremendous tool. It's been a great blessing in my life. And even, you know, there are times where you go through difficult things and just getting out and, you have to put in the work, and that is so helpful and has been so helpful. That's different than like putting your identity in this. Like, who am I without that? That's a really scary question.
Yeah. And we're all looking for something like that, you know, to cling on to. And so for me, like, you know, I didn't start running, for the reasons now that I retrospectively am looking back and appreciating it. I didn't realize what it was going to become for me. And it actually is I still think it's more than a hobby in one sense for me, because it's meaningful. The Lord could take it from me and I would have to cope with that in some ways. But I think that, it's been helpful. And I think like on just to like, think about like scripture and stuff, like Paul saying, he runs the race as to win the race, not wasting, you know, his time and effort and everything. He's not going half-heartedly into the Christian life, the race of the Christian life. And I absolutely understand what that means a lot more now, having actually ran races where that temptation is really there. Like, you know, even recently, one of the last big races, a 50 miler that I did in December, there was this point in the race where, like, I always have these moments. I'm sure you have had it too, but where you kind of come to the end of yourself, and it really be like your body's broken, and you're wanting just to like throw the towel in. And I was getting to that point where what that meant for me in that moment was not stopping the race, but just sort of settling for not giving everything that I could possibly to fight to win, you know. And for me, it was like this moment where I'm like, I can settle right now, and I could just go at a pace that is more comfortable, or I could take this one opportunity I have right now. Now is time to go. It's not time to sit back and get comfortable right now. Now is the time to press on and give everything I have, and to like choose to hurt right now instead of just giving in. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it, because I think that would be the better. I want to look back on this and actually be able to say, when it hurt really bad, I didn't ease off the gas, but like I literally just dumped myself into it as hard as I could. And I just think that's, you know, that's just one little picture of how meaningful it can be to be in a place where, I mean, isn't that like our lives on a daily basis? Like, we're so tempted to face hard things and then just sort of let off the gas, coast through it, struggle, not really press into things. But in life, the very times when it's the easiest to give in are the times when it's time to wake up and to press into what's happening with more intensity, more vigor. And I think that's what Paul was saying, like, hey, persecution is coming. Like, you got to lean into it. Yeah, like, you can't back off.
Yeah, don't run away. Like,
So I think that's it's getting at something in me that I feel like is helping me understand the Christian life better.
That's good.
Specifically as it is a race, a wilderness wandering. It's a struggle. It's a test that we are overcomers in Christ, but like we still have to live into that and actually overcome. And it's hard, man. Like I've in my Christian life, I've been tempted to just like throw in the towel, and not like I wouldn't renounce my Christianity. I wouldn't stop believing in Jesus. Like I mean, that's not even logical, but what I would do is just sort of not try, not care as much, not love people, not read my Bible and pray, you know, and just become kind of like an average, you know, apathetic coasting Christian, you know? Yep.
So at what point did you start running though? Like, because you have such a chaotic upbringing, right? And then God gets a hold of your life, and somewhere in the middle of all of that, you find this thing, right? This vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah. So, 6 years ago, I was working a job, and, I had gained some weight since, I'd gotten married. I guess I've been married for 4 years. I've been married 10 years now to my wife, Erin. And I had gained some weight and stuff. And so I'm like, man, like I'm not feeling good. I've got Crohn's disease. So that's like a thing that I deal with too. And a doctor told me like, hey, you should consider exercise. And I'm like, excuse you. Like I do exercise, you know, like I go to the gym and stuff. And I was so offended at that, you know? And then I realized like, yeah, I guess I am a little unhealthy, you know? And, so I started doing like this fasting diet and stuff like that, trying to lose weight. I lost a bunch of weight, like 60 pounds in a couple months. And then I just went like running a few times in there, and I realized, oh man, like this is actually really fun, like running around out in the woods on the trails and stuff by my house. I just like one thing led to the next, and I started doing it. And then I started like watching like all the crazy ultra guys on YouTube and stuff. And I'm like, oh man, that's epic. Like I could never do that, but that's super cool, you know? And then, one thing led to the next, and it's a slippery slope, right? And
it's a slippery slope. Yes, it is.
Really is. So
yes, it is.
I caught the bug and did a 50K and didn't do too bad, you know? And I'm like, oh man, like this is kind of crazy. Like I kind of like each new like level is just a new challenge that it feels absolutely impossible and daunting. Yeah. And you're just like, I don't know how I'll ever be able to do that. And then you go and you do it and you're like, whoa, that's crazy. Yeah. Like I still can't believe that. Like I did 100 miler in the fall it's wild to even think that's possible, you know?
Yeah, it's so crazy. It is a slippery slope because you're like, I could try that. I don't know. okay, I'll do a 50K. That seems pretty far. I'll do that. Right. And then I will have said I did it, and then I'll never have to do it again. And then you get done, and you're like, that was bad.
Yeah,
but I'm
yeah.
not dead. I wonder if I could – maybe I could do 50 miles. I don't know. And then, yeah, for me, I'm like telling my wife, who I just convinced I'd never do this again, you know, yesterday. Like, yeah, I just signed up for a 50-miler. She's like, you're out of your mind. Yeah, but this is as far as I'll ever go. I just want to see if I can do it. And then you're – you know, I did my first 100K was in Utah. It was this incredible race outside of Zion. It was like this amazing. Yeah. And I was like, man, that was really hard. Like, that really pushed me. But I bet 100 miles is possible. It's not that much further, right? And then you're running 100 miles. You're like, how in the world did I get here? Like, one stupid decision after another. But it is. It's crazy because you feel like I could never do that. And then you do it. And then you're like, I could go a little bit further. And a lot of life is that way. The analogies to that in life are just, to me, they're so clear. But it's really good to have big goals like that because you have to train for them. You can't just show up and, you know, I mean, no offense intended to people who run 5Ks and stuff. Those are fun, but you don't, most people don't have to train to run a 5K. You can just kind of go out and, you know, it'll take you 30 minutes if you're not trained. Right.
Right.
But yeah, it's a crazy thing. It's a crazy thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And yeah, I mean, it's wild though. Like it's hard to explain without having experienced it, but I think there's some analogies in other spheres, but I mean, I remember I did the Georgia Death Race, and that was maybe one of the worst times that I've suffered through a race.
That's a great name.
Yeah, I know. And that one was like 75 miles. And I mean, the point of it is just to be brutal on you and hurt you, you know? So I just remember coming to a point and during that race where, again, it was like that point where the Lord's like dealing with me, you know, and just being reduced down to nothing. And I just remember being so profoundly humbled by it that I'm like, I'm broken. Like, this broke my spirit. Like, I am deeply humbled. And then at the same time, I'm like incredibly proud of myself for finishing, you know? And both of those things, like, I feel like coexisted in me when I was doing that, where I'm like, gosh, I'm not special, you know? Like, that just chewed me up and spit me out like bad, you know? But at the same time, like, I made it. I like decided to persevere, and like, that was possible. If I, you know, it's something about learning that you can come to the end of yourself. Yeah. And obviously as a Christian with God's help, but you can keep going forward. You know, you don't have to throw the towel in. It's a choice that you make. And it's so hard. I DNF'd for the first time, and not last year, but the year before, the 100 mile that I just did, I DNF'd it the year before. And man, I'll tell you, that was actually one of the hardest mental things for me and emotional things walking away from that. I immediately regretted it. I was in a really low place, and I just was like, everything about this race has gone sideways. Like, even like my watch and my phone were dying, and I wouldn't have been able to contact my wife to come get me. And I'm just out in the middle of nowhere in the middle of the night, you know, in the woods somewhere. And I'm just like, man, this sucks. Like, my body is shutting down. I was stumbling around like a drunk person, just trying to walk, you know? And, I'm like, gosh, man, like, you know, something's wrong with me. And I talked myself into just dropping out. And then literally in the car ride, immediately was just like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. You know,
how far did
I
go?
Could have kept going, you know? And looking back on it, yeah, it's like, for me, I think I could, you know, sometimes I'm more competitive and stuff, but even if I have a bad day out there, I think I've kind of decided that unless something's like a bones hanging out of the skin kind of thing, like broken, I think for me, it's important to like, just keep going and maybe everybody in the, you know, everybody else passes me and I just have to do the walk of shame, death march in to finish, you know, but there's something.
You just described every race I've run. The death of shame, death march. I'm going to finish.
Yeah.
So thanks
but
for really, that.
I mean, but there's something about that though. That's like, I mean, isn't that life? Like, you have all these high grandiose ideas of what you're going to be like. And then you go out there and you just, everything goes to crap and you're like, well, I have to decide now. Do I want to keep going?
Yeah.
Even if I don't get glory, you know, or is it worth it for me to finish? You know, and, so
how far had you gone before you, dropped out of that race?
About 70 something miles.
Yeah. That's crazy. It's crazy to me too. So I used to, before I started running these longer races, I'd hear about that and I'm like, you went 70, what's 30 more? Like it's 30 right. more. It's more than a marathon, right? It's really far. But yeah, it does come down to that decision. And, you know, I always think of Hebrews 12:1, where, you know, it talks about running with patience, the race set before you. And I think we can get so wrapped up in where am I going to finish? What, you know, did I make my time or not? You know, kind of those questions that it is easy to just make the decision to stop. But the real goal, I mean, you take all the rest of it away. The real goal is to finish the race.
Yeah.
Now I want to get a good time and I want to place at this place and I want to do all these other things, but those are extra. Finishing is the goal, right? And if we lose sight of that in life, then, you know, we quit. In marriage, we quit. Raising our kids, we quit because things didn't go the way we thought they should. And that's when we make those decisions.
Yeah. And that relates to me, like being in ministry and stuff like that. Like, gosh, it plays into that same like shame, honor kind of mechanism in me where I like hear all these great preachers and I'm like, gosh, I'm going to preach and I'm going to be a powerful speaker. And like people are going to just like sit under my preaching and be wowed and amazed by it. And then I actually did it. And I'm like, gosh, I suck. Like it would have been better just to let anybody else preach because I just spent an hour like wasting people's time, you know, and it was so humbling and everything. And it just crushed me, you know, and it made me like, oh, man, I don't know if I want to do this. And it's like, why? Because you weren't as glorious as you thought you were going to be.
Right, you know, like that.
But yeah, like ministry for me now has been that, like where God's been humbling me and reducing me down to where, I'm not coming into it with an idol. And I mean, how ugly is that to use other people for my own like platform and trying to be seen and admired by other people, you know, and like, I'm so grateful that God has stopped me from executing on that kind of idea. And it is. So you come to that place where you're at the decision point. And I've been there over the last few years where it's like, okay, I can do this ministry and it's not going to be like glorious. It's not going to be fancy. All the grandiose ideas are not going to be there, but there are real people that I need to love and care for. And it might not get noticed, but it's meaningful for me to do that. Yeah. And I might just be an ordinary preacher that's kind of mediocre, you know, and is that okay with me, you know, like if God calls me into that. And like, I think, I mean, the correct answer is obviously yes, but it's been a hard thing for me to wrestle with. I really feel like the Lord's relieved me from some of that. And part of it, I think, has been through the running and stuff and just being like, no, like this is like, Paul, it's interesting. Paul doesn't say the opposite of pride is to just think terrible thoughts about yourself, but he said that you have to have, you know, appropriate thoughts about yourself that you rightly, you know, think of yourself. And so in a sense, like that's, I think humility is that where you're just like, no, this is, you know, I will always finish these ultras. I'm peaked out right now as much as I think, you know, I don't know, maybe I'll get a little bit better at running, but I'm probably not going to podium on big races. I'll probably be able to do that on mom and pop's like local style races, but I'd be lucky to get a top 10 if I was to go to like any kind of bigger, more competitive races. And I kind of just have to live with that, you know, like I don't have the genetics to be, you know, and I'm not using that as an excuse. I'm probably training harder as like than most of the people I know. And I'm training almost as hard as like professional runners. And maybe too much, you know, like obsessing over a little bit. But yeah, like you bump up against how God has gifted you and blessed you. And I think that's the thing, like learning how to find the enjoyment, genuine joy and gratitude for the ways that God has gifted you and whatever scenario you're in with the good and bad, just being able to be content with that. And then like having genuine joy. And I think for me, that's been something that I've learned from all of this too, you know, and I think I have experienced more joy in the last couple of years as a result of that, you know?
Yeah, that's good. It really is. I mean, life, right? And running would be part of life, but it really is about fully living out what God's placed on us. And I think about this all of the time. I can't be someone else, nor should I ever want to be someone else. My goal has to be to fully take advantage of what God has given me to steward over. And, you know, physically, I think most of us can probably do more, but we can't all do the same. And that's just, it's ridiculous to think that we could. Intellectually, you know, relationally, that would be true in every area of life. My only responsibility really is fully living out what God has placed on me and just trusting Him for the rest of that. But that's such a pressure. We put these expectations on ourselves and on others, and they're unrealistic to put expectations that God didn't place on us. Once we understand that, then we can live that life of joy, right? Joy is a fruit of the life yielded to the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit produces that in us. And so it's a question of, are we releasing control to Him to do what He wants to with us? And, it's so helpful, man.
It's good.
A lot of other things we could talk about. And, we are talking about potentially having this conversation on a regular basis, right? So we're talking about having kind of a Christian ultra running podcast. So if you're listening and you're interested in that, let us know. If you're not interested in that, I really don't care, but we're talking about it. So we might continue this conversation, but for today, where can people follow you and kind of, I just enjoy following your social media, seeing what race you're into right now. And it always encourages me, not because I'm racing or winning, but it's fun. Where can people follow you?
So I think my Instagram is just Kyle Kraft, and Facebook, you know, so it's my name spelled Kraeft. I'm trying to get better at posting more, which feels really awkward for me because I'm not like one of those people that does that naturally, you know. But I do it because, I want to grow the running community. Like I feel like God's put me here again, stewarding what God's given me. I'm really trying to help other people with running, and just, it's a great way to like spend time with people in these spaces. So we have like a running group in town that, that I've been doing too. And so I'll post pictures of us as a running group hanging out and so that's been fun, but so Instagram, Facebook, not really on like other ones too much.
Those are the big ones. That's good. Well, Kyle, thank you, man. And I'm sure we'll talk more about this, but appreciate it. Appreciate your testimony and all that you're doing.
Yeah, thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Grateful for that conversation with Kyle. Please follow him on socials. You'll be encouraged. Always positive, always uplifting, and always challenging, at least for me. I see the stuff that he's into, and I'm like, man, he does such a great job, and I'll never do that great. But I'm encouraged by it and motivated by it and very thankful for him. So please follow him, and that would be fantastic. Again, if you have not yet subscribed to the show, do that. Subscribe to the show. Very important. And then take some time. I remind you of this at the end of every episode. Go over to lifeaudio.com, lifeaudio.com. There you will find some incredible podcasts, just a number of wonderful podcasts there, faith-focused, that will be a help and an encouragement to you. So please go check that out. Appreciate you joining me, and I look forward to talking to you next time. Many of our veterans feel they need to fight their battles alone. This self-isolation has led to the staggering statistic of more than 20 veterans taking their lives every day. The mission of Mighty Oaks is to eradicate the veteran suicide epidemic and help our warriors change their legacies. We've been able to help over 4,000 veterans and first responders by equipping them with the tools they need to live the lives they were created to live. Our faith-based, peer-to-peer approach has one of the highest success rates of any program available today, offering hope and understanding to those who need it most. By aligning their lives to biblical principles, these men and women are able to lead their families, their communities, and our nation. It's your generosity that can make a difference in the lives of the men and women who have fought for our country and our freedoms. Now that they're home, don't let them fight alone. Learn more at MightyOaksPrograms.org.
Hey everybody, I'm Dale.
And I'm Tamara.
And we're hosts of the Kynos Project podcast,
where we help you tackle ancient Christian truths in everyday settings.
The word kynos means new, and that's exactly what we want to do on our podcast, bring something new from what is old in our faith.
And on this show, you might hear us explore topics like what the Bible has to say about student loan forgiveness, discuss how the Satanic Temple affects our view of religious liberty in America, or even question why is it that so many people are having rapture anxiety.
To learn more about the podcast, go to lifeaudio.com.